弟兄姐妹早上好。
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
我们很高兴今天早上我们在一起相聚。
I'm very glad that we can come together once again this Sunday morning to worship our Lord.
那上个主日呢，我们思考了如何得到圣灵引导的正确方法。
Last Sunday we talked about how to receive the leading of the Holy Spirit in a correct manner.
那么人生中呢，有三种不同的选择。
We have three choices in our lives.
那第一种呢，就是善与恶之间的选择。
The first is to choose between good and evil.
理所应当，我们自然选择那个属于善。
We take it for granted that we should choose that which is good.
那第二种呢，就是恶与恶之间的选择。
And second, we need to choose between evil and evil, two evils.
那么情势所迫，我们就不得不在这两个选择中选择一个带来最小伤害
的。And sometimes very reluctantly, we are forced to choose the one which brings the least damage.
那么第三种呢，就是善与善之间的选择。
And the third choice is to choose between two goods.
我们希望选择一个最好的。
And we hope to choose the best.
所以这一类呢，就是我们需要寻求圣灵的引导。
So among these three, we need the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
那么因为上帝的心意不是向我们隐藏的。
God's will is not hidden from us.
因为他的心意全然可知。
And we can know his will fully.
今天我们将继续圣灵引导系列的第五讲。
And today we will continue our series on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the fifth series.
那么希望借着学习
And hopefully through this study,
让我们在人生所有重大的决定当中都能够做出符合上帝心意的决定。
That we can make the major decisions in our life according to God's heart.
那么这样我们就可以真正达到那种神人合一的境界。
And by doing that, we hope to achieve a unity, harmony with God.
这就是我们今天所要分享的题目，神人合一。
And this is what I want to talk about today, living in harmony with God.
毫无疑问，这将是人生的一个最高境界。
Undoubtedly, this is the highest achievement we can make.
也许今生我们还达不到完全。
Maybe we cannot reach to that point in this life.
但这种境界却是完全有可能实现的。
But it is possible, it's totally possible to reach to that point.
那我是希望通过这一个系列我们的分享啊，弟兄姐妹，我们都能在人生中做出那些正确的决定。
And I hope through my sharing of these topics that we all can make correct decisions in our lives.
那以前我在牧会的时候遇到一个年轻的家庭。
I met a young family in my previous pastorate.
那这个女孩呢，她是因为家庭遇到了一个严重的问题，她不得不来到教会。
And this girl came to church because her family had encountered a very serious issue.
那么她自己不但在婚姻中遇到了问题，在工作上遇到了问题，而且我发现她的心理的状态已经严重受到损害。
And this girl came to me because she had serious family issues, emotional issues, and then also her psychological issues have deteriorated.
他已经没有办法去照顾他的家庭，也没有办法去正常的工作。
She was not able to take care of her own family and her work.
那么在这个过程中跟他接触，我还是不是很清楚他生活中发生了什么事情。
So in the process of meeting and talking with her, I still couldn't.Get a hold of what exactly happened to her.
这个最后的结局却是我们所有人都不乐意看到的结局。
And the end result was not something that we all like to see.
那这个女孩就自杀，在旅馆里面自杀身亡。
And she committed suicide in a hotel.
那当在帮助这个家庭处理丧事的时候，后来她的父母也从中国来，我才对她的生活多少有了一些理解。
While we were dealing with her funeral matters and her parents came from China, then we saw more in detail what happened to her.
所以这个女孩原先是一个蛮天真蛮淳朴的一个女孩。
This girl was very innocent and very pure to start with.
她的家庭也是一个知识分子的家庭，父母都非常的受过很好的教育。
And she came from an intellectual family. Her parents were very well educated.
但是就是在她人生的路上做出了一连串的错误的选择，才导致了她这个不幸的结局。
But because she made a series of mistakes that led to this outcome.
最后她去世的时候才年仅35岁。
And when she passed away, she was only 35 years old.
所以我才想，如果当初他不是因为做出那些错误的决定，他的生活会是怎么样子？
So I was thinking, if she didn't make that initial mistake, that decision, what would happen to her afterwards?
如果他不是因为在一个出差的机会上遇到一个已婚的男人，跟他陷入了这种情感的纠葛，可能就不会有这样的结果。
If on her business trip she didn't meet this married man, her life may be different.
如果她不知和那个人引爆到知道他有一些经济犯罪的背景的话，可能也不会有现在这样的结果。
If she realized that this man that she met has some financial crimes against the law, then something that happened to her may not happen.
如果他不是决定说跟这个人来逃往美国，而且切断了跟他家人所有的联系的话，他可能也不会有这样的结果。
If she didn't flee to US with this man or cut off relationship with her own family, then this may not have happened.
所以我们希望说，我们所有做出的决定都是个好的决定。
So I hope that all the decisions we make.There will be good decisions.
上一次呢，我们介绍了一个实用的、非常实用的来个原则哈。
And last week I introduced a very practical principle.
那这个原则就是，若我们有清楚神的带领，需要改变的时候，我们应该原地不动。
If we do not have God's clear guidance to make a change, then we should stay put.
所以这个原则呢，简单明了，浅易学，而且非常的实用。
This principle is very easy to understand and to learn, and it's very practical.
那么接下来我们将介绍这个其他还有四个实用的原则。
And in the following, I will introduce to you another four basic practical principles.
那这些原则呢，都是建立在上帝启示的基础之上。
All these principles are based on God's revelation in His Word.
而且经过历代基督徒的实践，证明了他们的有效性。
Which have been practiced by Christians over the generations to prove that they are effective.
因此，这些原则则会帮助我们在做决定的时候，避免了很多不必要的失误。
So these principles will help us to avoid many unnecessary mistakes while we are making decisions.
那我们先来看第二个原则。
So let's look at the second principle.
这第二个原则就是说，重要的决定呢，不要在孤独之中做出。
The second principle is that do not make any major decisions while you are alone or lonely, feel lonely.
人在压力之下呢，常常会做出一些不明智的决定。
People usually make unwise decisions under stress.
那么，当我们被恐惧、忧虑、愤怒这个忧伤还有其他的这些情绪所困扰的时候
When we are troubled by fear, by sadness, by anger and worry or other emotions.
所以我们的这个判断力都会受到严重的削弱。
And our ability of judgment will be severely handicapped.
因此当我们处在这种极端情绪的困扰之下，我们不要仓促地做出任何决定。
So when we are under this extreme emotional situation, do not make any hasty decision.
不论我们是异常的兴奋呢，还是格外的悲伤。
And no matter whether we're extremely excited or extremely sad,
都不是做出重大决定的这个最佳时机。
They are not a good time to make major decisions.
我们知道前两天我们这个主日学在查考福音书的时候，看到这个施洗约翰被杀的例子。
In our Sunday school, we went over how John the Baptist was killed.
那么在这里面就是希律王在他特别兴奋的时候，他做出了一个冒失的决定。
And King Herod made a very important decision while he was extremely excited.
所以这个决定也是他所后来我想他是后悔的。
I think he regretted of that decision.
那么所以我们在做出这些决定的时候啊，特别是在我们情绪不稳，一定不要在这个事上做出任何的决定。
So do not make any hasty decision when we are emotionally unstable.
所以第三个啊，这样第三个的原则是这样子，重要的决定呢，我们应当给予充分的时间去考虑和祷告。
And the third principle is that when we are making major decisions, we need to give ourselves ample time and prayer.
匆匆忙忙的决定呢，常常缺乏慎重的考虑。
A hasty decision usually lacks a lot of mature consideration.
因此，重大的事情必须要给自己充分的时间去考虑。
So we need to give ourselves ample time to consider major decisions.
一般来说呢，深思熟虑的决定总是比仓促匆忙做出的决定更加的成熟跟稳妥。
Generally speaking, a decision that is made with a long time consideration and deliberation is always better than decisions made in haste.
而且祷告也是需要时间的。
And prayer also takes time.
因为我们要求上帝给我们的回应，所以这个时间不是由我们来决定。
And we require God's response to our prayers, but this time is not set by us, but by God.
Yeah. 那第四个原则就是说，影响家庭的重要决定，夫妻必须同心。
The fourth principle is that a decision that affects the whole family,Husband and wife need to be in agreement.
几乎所有的重要决定啊，都会给家庭带来一定的影响。
Almost all the major decisions will cast an effect on the whole family.
但有些决定呢，牵扯到家庭成员的生活改变，所以呢，这个夫妻之间的沟通。
Some changes involve the whole change of lifestyle for the family members.So the husband and wife need to have good communication.
对，所以夫妻之间的沟通则是必不可少的啊。比如
so, husband and wife need to communicate very well.
比如丈夫要转换工作。
For example, if a husband wants to change his job.
如果这工作只是在公司内部的变动呢，这个对家庭影响有限。
If the job change is within a company, then the influence will be less.
如果涉及到跨州的搬迁呢，则对每个家庭成员都有影响。
If the change involves moving the whole family across the state, then it will affect the whole family members.
所以在这种情况下，夫妻的同心就格外的重要。
So under that kind of situation, husband and wife need to be in agreement.
那第五个原则，也是今天我们想的最后一个原则，就是我们常常会有这样的疑问啊。
And the fifth principle is something that sometimes we have questions about.
就是我们是不是可以向上帝寻求印证？
Which is, can we ask a fleece from God?
那么我们前面讲过，我们不可以随便的这个寻求一些莫名其妙的验证哈。
I mentioned this previously that we cannot ask a random fleece from God.
但是我们可以寻求一些验证，这些验证呢是跟这个寻求之事有一定的关联。
But we can ask a fleece from God when this matter relates to what we are seeking for.
尤其是这个涉及到教会，还有神的国度的事工。
Especially matters concerning the church and God's kingdom ministry.
那么所求的印证呢，就应当跟这个事情有一些关联，而不是胡求、乱求或者是妄求。
So the things and the fleece we're seeking after should be related to the matter we're seeking for an answer, and it's not random or wanton asking from God.
所以以前有个教会呢，他们就在发展这个教会事工的时候，陷入了一个这种僵局的状况。
There was a church who was seeking God's guidance on certain matter, and they became very stagnant.
因为一批人说呢，我们应该在这个地方呢，我们要扩建我们的教会，要把教会建一个更大的礼拜堂。
One group said that we should build a bigger church that we can contain more people.
那另外一个群的人则会说呢，我们呢，这个不应该在建堂，应该我们应该建立另外一个分堂，因为在城市的另外一个地区有相当的福音的需要。
Another group says that we should not get into another building program, but we should start a new mission away from our own city.
所以这两种不同的这种看法呀，就在教会有了分歧。
So these two views created some discussion and difference in the church.
所以这样就很容易引起教会的分裂的。
And then it's easy to break apart the church.
所以教会的领袖就在一起号召大家说，我们一起来祷告。
So the church leaders got together and prayed.
不是说我们听从这一批人的，或者听从那一批人的。
Now we do not either choose to listen to this group or that group.
我们让上帝带领我们做出一个决定。
We should let God lead us to make that decision.
所以他们就坐在一起设立一个目标，说我们一起来为建堂来筹款。
So they set a goal and said that let's raise fund for the building church building program.
如果我们在几个月之内我们能够达到这个我们募款的目标，我们就建堂。
If within certain months we can reach our fundraising goal, then we will start the building program.
如果我们不能够达到这个目标的话。我们就去分堂，我就是觉得神是带领我们去建立另外一个教会。
If we cannot reach the fundraising goal, then we would start a plant a new church.
所以这就是他们在神面前求的一个印证。
So this is a fleece that's seeking from God.
因为所求的这个款项，这是神的供应。
Because the money would be coming from the Lord.
所以神借着这个来带领教会，说是走什么样的方向。
So through this method that God is leading the church, which direction to go?
所以呢，这个最后的结果呢，他们到了那个设定的期限，就是没有达到他们所预定捐款的目标。
So when the time came to decide whether they have reached the goal of fundraising, they did not receive the certain amount they were asking for.
所以双方不同意见的弟兄姐妹，他们就在一起，他们就清楚说。这是神给我们的带领，我们就顺从，我们就去到另外一个地方去建立一个新的教会。
So people who hold different views came together and say, "This is God's leading. Let us go start a new church."
所以这就是说，我们在寻求神的带领上，我们要如果清楚的话，这教会或者是我们个人都是一个蒙福的经历啊。
So we can clearly understand God's guidance and God's will. It will become a blessing to us individually and to the church as a whole.
所以按照上面这个五个原则呢，所以当我们面临重大决定的时候，我们人生就不容易产生偏差了。
So based on the five principles I just mentioned, when we face major decisions in our lives, it will be not easy to go astray.
那么我们可以有可能会问，我怎么自己我怎么会知道上帝给我的带领和启示呢？
So some people may ask, how do we know God's revelation for us and God's leading for us?
这个以赛亚书第五十五章八到九节这样说。
In Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 to 9.
耶和华说，我的意念非同你们的意念。
God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
我的道路非同你们的道路。
Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
天怎样高过地，照样我的道路高过你们的道路，我的意念高过你们的意念。
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
所以神已经明确地启示给我们，他的意念是高过我们的意念，他也愿意将他的意念告诉我们。
So here God clearly revealed to us that his thoughts are high above our thoughts and he's willing to reveal his thoughts to us.
如果我们不知道他的意念，他的意念再怎么好，我们也没有办法去做得出来，对不对？
No matter how good his will is, how his thoughts are, if we don't know and can't find out, then it doesn't do any good.
所以只要耐心地寻求上帝的带领，必然清晰。
So, if we do seek God faithfully and patiently, we will for sure know His will.
所以从圣经的启示以及历代基督徒的见证，我们大概可以归纳出上帝与人互动大概有四种模式。
So, from the biblical revelation and the testimonies of the Christians through the generations, we can in general deduce four models how God interacts with us.
那第一种模式呢，就是上帝的直接启示。
The first model is God's direct revelation.
那么在这种情况下呢，神的启示是非常清楚的。
Under such circumstances, God's revelation is very clear.
丝毫没有怀疑的余地。
Which leaves no room for doubts.
所以比如说这个摩西在那个燃烧的荆棘之中与神相遇。
For example,Moses encountered with God in that burning bush.
保罗在去大马士革的路上遇见复活的基督。
And Paul met the resurrected Jesus on his way to Damascus.
这些都是上帝的直接启示。
And these are examples of God's direct revelation.
所以这些与神相遇的经历不但十分清晰，而且终身难忘。
And these encounters with God, not only are they very clear, and they are unforgettable.
可能有人会问，那上帝今天是不是还会用这种办法来给我们？
And some people may ask, does God still use this method today?
特别要小心，我们不要轻易说可以，也不要轻易说不可以。
So we have to be careful not to say yes or no.
因为我们不能限定上帝可以用这种方法，或者不可以用某种方法去来沟通。
Because we cannot limit God on how He can do this way or that way.
上帝他有全权来决定他采用什么样的方式来跟我们沟通。
God has all the rights to decide which way He will choose to interact with us.
因此啊，今天这种方法依然是可能的。
So this method is still possible nowadays.
同时我们也必须承认这种方法这种方式非常的罕见。
But at the same time, we need to admit that this method is rarely seen.
那么第二种模式呢就是上帝明显的同在。
The second model is by God, revealing his presence very, in a very strong sense.
虽然这个方法没有第一种模式那种与神相遇的经历。
Even though this pattern, this model is not like when you meet God face to face.
但是当事人呢，是可以强烈地感受到上帝的同在。
But a person would feel God's presence in a very, very strong way.
神的带领毫不模糊。
And God's guidance is not ambiguous.
于是我们有充分的理由相信，上帝今天依然使用这种方式和人类沟通。
And we have full confidence to believe that God still uses this model to interact with people.
只要我们耐心地去寻求，
As long as we seek Him with patience,
上帝的带领 必然清晰。
His guidance will be clear.
那以前有一个修女啊，她想寻求一个印证，说上帝是不是让她来终身的来做这个修女啊。
Once there was a nun who was seeking God to find out if God has called her to dedicate her life.
那么
as a nun,
他跟他的这个负责的这个人谈过之后，他说这个负责带领他的人就说你应该去祷告寻求神的带领啊。
So her mentor told her that you should pray and seek God's guidance.
所以当这个修女回到她的房间，马上就跪在地上祷告。
So she went back to her room immediately and knelt down to pray.
突然间她的房间马上就有个大光出现啊。
And suddenly her room was filled with a great light.
所以这个神回应的祷告真是又快啊又明显啊。
So God's response was very quick and very obvious.
这个修女吓了一跳，马上跳起来开开门就冲出去了，但是害怕的不得了，没想到会是这样的情况。
And so the nun was terrified and shocked, so she ran out of her room. She didn't expect God to appear in such a way.
所以这就是上帝明显同在，用这种方式来回应我们的祷告。
So this is an example of God's strong presence when we seek Him in prayer.
那么第三种模式啊，就上帝的引导呢，叫这个循序渐进的方式。
The third model or the third pattern is by God's revelation progressively.
那么上帝的引导是一步一步展开的。
God would unfold His guidance step by step.
这是上帝引导最为普通的一种方式。
This is the most common way God shows His guidance.
通常的当事人只知道下一步要做的事情。
Usually, the person only knows what to do in the next step.
所以神的带领啊是一个过程。
So God's guidance is a process.
所以上帝可以借用圣经、环境或者是话语。
So God would use the Bible, the circumstances, or other people's words,
或者是其他人的方式来印证圣灵的带领啊。
Or through others to reveal God's guidance.
那这是最常见的方式，也是我们应该学习跟操练的。
This is the most common pattern, and it's something we need to learn and practice.
那么第四种模式呢，就是上帝的引导呢。乃是在当事人毫无察觉的情况下进行的。
The fourth pattern is God's guidance is sometimes unaware to the people going through the circumstances.
那么神给予我们很多自由的空间啊。
So God gives us a lot of room for freedom.
所以当事人呢表面上感觉不到神的带领啊。
So the person may not feel God's guidance.
但是上帝提供了所有的机会。
But God would provide all the opportunities.
所以让当事人有充分的理由相信啊，他做出这个选择是神给他的预备啊。
That the person would have sufficient reasons to believe that what he chooses to do is by God's will.
所以在这种模式的情况下，当事人是在不知不觉当中啊，是这个依然在神的引导之下做出决定。
So in this pattern, the person unawares would still be under God's guidance to make his decision.
所以这种模式有一定的规则可以寻求。
And this pattern has certain rules that we can follow.
那么当地上帝利用上帝所赐给我们这个推理啊啊分析啊解释的这个能力哈。
So this is by using the ability to deduct.To make logic that we can make a right decision.
那让我们帮助我们做出一个准确的判断。
And by the deduction and by our logic, we can make a correct judgment.
那么到底上帝跟我们沟通会采用哪一种方式呢？
So which way would you choose when God interact with us?
这个我们是没有办法提前知道的。
We cannot know beforehand.
我们可以举一些圣经的例子。可以让帮助大家熟悉一下这四种不同的方法。
So we can give you some examples of how God led us in these four different patterns.
我们看保罗的这个宣教之旅啊。
Let's look at Paul's missionary journeys.
我们观察到保罗是经历了很多奇迹般的引导。
We can witness and observe that Paul experienced many miraculous guidance.
我们知道在他第二次的宣教之旅当中哈。
We know that during his second missionary journey.
那么圣经说圣灵阻止他们进入亚细亚。
The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit forbids them, prevented them from entering Asia.
这是一种典型的这种直接的启示啊。
So this is a typical direct revelation.
那后来保罗呢又在接受了这个马其顿的异象啊。
And then we see that Paul received this vision from Macedon.
那他的宣教方向呢一下就转向了欧洲啊。
So his missionary direction turned to Europe.
所以这是第二类神的引导。
So this is the second kind of God's guidance.
那就是上帝一种强烈的同在。
Which is God's strong presence.
但是我们应该注意到保罗大部分的决定啊并不是都是这两类的。
But at the same time, we need to be aware or notice that most of Paul's decisions were not these two types.
因为这个犹太人迫害的缘故啊。
And then because of the persecution of the Jews,
那么他传福音不得从一个城市转移到另外一个城市。
Paul had to turn from one city to another city.
其实这就是神的一种引导，这种是第三类循序渐进式的引导。
So this is the third kind of God's guidance, which is done progressively.
那么保罗抵达欧洲之后呢
？So after Paul arrived in Europe.
他采取的方式是先向犹太人传福音，然后再向外邦人传福音。
So he adopted a strategy which is to preach to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles.
所以这种策略啊，保罗我没有看到说他有寻求神的带领，他而是根据他的经验而采取的。
So by using this strategy, we don't see that he's seeking God's guidance, but he was using what he has learned in his experience.
这就是典型第四类神的引导，毫无察觉式的引导。
So this is a fourth kind of typical God's guidance. He wasn't seeking God, you know, he did it unwaveringly.
所以保罗在第一次宣教之旅就需要圣灵特别的感动。
So we see that in Paul's first mission and journey, he needs a special moving by the Holy Spirit.
但之后他的旅行，这是顺理成章的事情。
But then after that, his mission work is done logically and naturally.
不再需要上帝直接的命令。
He didn't require God to give him a direct command.
那么第四位神的引导在保罗宣教中呢也是常见的。
A fourth type of God's guidance is very much seen in Paul's journeys.
所以这一点啊同样适用于我们现代的信徒生活之中。
So the fourth type is also applicable.To us today.
所以当知道了上帝让我们服侍的方向以后
So when we know God's direction for our ministry,
那么我们后面的决定往往就不需要特别戏剧化的这种引导
Then the decision made afterwards do not require dramatic guidance from God.
因此只要我们耐心的寻求啊，上帝的这个带领必然会清晰。
So as long as we seek God patiently, God's guidance will be very clear.
所以根据我们上述这些分析，我们有五个不同的原则。
So based on our analysis above, we have made a flow chart of our five principles.
那么接下来我就跟大家来分享一下这个决定的这个流程图哈。
So now I want to share about this flow chart.
那这个流程图呢，就是根据我们上个星期这个星期来分析不同的状况，我们怎么样去做这个决定哈。
So based on what we shared last week and this week, this is a flow chart of how we seek God's guidance.
所以当我们面临决定的时候，我们首先要问两个问题哈。
So when we make decisions, first of all, we need to ask ourselves two questions.
那第一个问题就是说我们的决定是不是符合圣经的教导
First, is a decision based on the Bible teaching
是不是符合教会的立场
Is it in agreement with the church's stance?
然后是不是能够把这个良心的规范
And does it meet our conscience's standard?
如果不是的话，我们就要停止，我们不需要做出任何这样的决定。
If not, then we need to stop and we don't need to make that decision.
那如果是的话，我们才可以继续哈。
If the answer is yes, then we should continue.
那么同样的也是，我们问的另外一个问题就是说，我们是不是已经确定了我们人生的方向？
Another thought we need to ponder is that, are we sure of our life's direction?
如果你还不确定人生的方向的话，你一定要回去来思考这个问题。
If you're not sure of your life decision, you should turn back and think about this question first.
因为你这样的话没有办法做出其他的决定哈。
Because if you don't know your life's direction, you cannot make any other decision.
如果你已经知道神清楚地告诉你，你这个一生你应该做什么时候，那你就可以继续下去。
So if you know clearly that God has shown you your life direction, then you can continue.
那接下来的时候呢，这个我们就要问三个不同的问题。
And then we need to ask ourselves three questions.
那第一个就是说，我的这个决定是介于好跟坏之间的选择吗？
The first question we need to ask ourselves is my decision...My choice between a good and a bad.
那在这个善恶之间的选择，我们就自然是选择那个善的。
If it's between good and evil, of course, we would choose that which is good.
那我这个选择是不是两个都是坏的选择呢？
Is a choice between two evils?
那在这种情况下，我们就不得不选那个给我们带来最小伤害的。
And then we are forced to choose that which brings least damage.
如果我们的选择呢是处于第三类，就是不涉及道德的这个规范问题，两个都是好的选择。
If our third choice is between two goods, which there is no moral dilemma,
那么我们就要进行下一步，有个人的这种寻求跟带领。
Then we need to take the next step is to have a personal retreat to seek God's guidance.
那在这种个人退休的时候，我们就要看看神是通过哪一种方式来带领我们。
So in our personal retreat, we will see how God directs us personally.
那我想神的带领呢，大概就不会超过这四种方式。
And I think God's guidance will not exceed these four types.
那么这个就是这个流程图哈。
So this is the flow chart.
那就是告诉我们怎么样来做出一个啊合乎神心意的决定。
It helps us make a decision that is according to God's heart.
所以我们来看哈，我们看到这个寻求神带领的这个过程啊，不是一个非常奥秘非常这个玄乎其神的事情啊。
So we can see that seeking God's guidance is not something mysterious or something that's unfathomable.
因为神已经给我们预备了这些方法跟方式让我们去追寻的啊。
Because God has prepared and provided these methods and guidance for us to seek after and understand.
所以我们在分析了这个选择的种类、寻求的前提和这些原则之后，哈。
So after I will talk about the different types of guidance, some basic premise and some principles.
我们知道上帝给我们的引导是有章可循的。
We know that the guidance of God can be found by certain methods.
那至于上帝如何启示我们带领，这个是我们事先不知道的。
But as far as how God would reveal himself to us, we cannot know that beforehand.
那么可能是这四种方式中的其中一种。
Maybe it's through one of the ways among these four.
但是我们相信。
But we truly believe.
只要耐心寻求上帝的带领，必然会清晰。
As long as we seek God patiently, his guidance will be clear and sure.
那我以前在我的讲道中常常讲到这个叫魏乐德的啊，这个基督徒的作家啊。
In my previous sermons, I often mentioned Dallas Willard, this Christian writer.
那他就是在我们加州南加大的这个哲学系的教授。
He was a philosophy professor at USC.
他在前几年已经去世。
He passed away a few years ago.
但是他在写作方面，关于基督徒的这种灵修的生活方面，真是有很多很好的贡献啊。
But he contributed a lot in his writings on Christian spiritual formation.
他在年轻的时候，他曾经是一个教会的牧师。
He was a pastor when he was younger.
然后他又到大学去读书。
And then he went to college.
然后他觉得神给他带领，他说有些问题他不能明白，不能理解。
And then he was seeking God's guidance. And he said that there are several things that he couldn't quite understand or comprehend.
就是人的这个灵魂是怎么样来去工作的哈。
Which is how does a person's soul work?
所以他觉得他需要一些进修哈。
So he felt that he needs to study these in advance.
当然，他可以去神学院读书。
Of course, he can go to a seminary to study.
但是很多的神学院呢，并没有这方面的很深入的研究。
But many theological schools do not offer deep, profound study on that subject.
所以后来他就去了这个威斯康星大学，一个哲学系，在这个方面有非常出色研究的一部门，去读一个博士学位。
So he finally chose to go to a university in Wisconsin where they have a very good study on philosophy.
所以当他毕业之后，他要面对一个选择，他是要回去继续牧会呢，还是要做一个不同的工作？
So after he graduated, he had to make a decision whether to go back to church or whether to seek another way to serve.
这个是一个很大的挣扎。
So it became a very big struggle for him.
那你要知道，当时在60年代、70年代的时候，那么到教会去做牧师，也还是一个非常让人羡慕的工作。
And you know that back in the 60s and 70s, to become a church's pastor is also something that's admirable.
那么特别是对一个非常虔诚的基督徒来说，总觉得那个是一个非常神圣的呼召。
Especially for a godly Christian, they always think that's a sacred ministry.
那么他在祷告寻求的时候就非常的奇妙哈。
And so while he was praying and seeking God, something miraculous happened.
乃是上帝跟他说你如果现在去了教会去服侍的话呢。
So God told him, if you go back to church to serve,
那你就没有办法，你去到这个大学或者是其他社会上去来分享福音的这个门就会被关掉。
Then you would have no opportunity to go back to the society or the colleges to share the gospel. The door will be closed for you.
如果你去大学里面去做教书的工作呢？
But if you teach in a university,
那么你到教会去来宣讲的这个大门永远是敞开。
And the door to the church to preach will always be open.
所以当时对这个年轻的魏乐德来讲啊，特别是在当时那个时代，在教会在美国有相当大的影响，他很不理解这个到底是怎么回事。
So back in that age when the church still has a big influence on the society, he couldn't understand why did God give him such an answer.
但是几十年之后，神的话就非常清楚了对他。
So after a decade or more than that years, you know, God's word became clearer and clearer.
所以只有上帝知道未来是怎么样子。
So only God knows how the future would unfold.
而只有上帝是掌管世界一切所发生的事情。
And only God has control over everything that happens in the world.
所以当我们真的能够寻得上帝给我们带领的时候，那个我们人生的道路才是最美好的。
So when we can find God's direction for us, our life path will be the best and the most beautiful.
那希望我们在座的每一位弟兄姐妹啊，在经过这一个系列的讲座之后，我们都能够做出一些个非常有智慧的决定。
So I hope after this series on seeking God's the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can make good decisions for our lives.
好，让我们一起来低头祷告。
Let us bow in prayer.
天父上帝，我们感谢你的带领跟保守。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guidance and your watching.
真是在这学习怎么样寻求神带领的时候，真是让我们更好的认识你。
So as we study how to seek your guidance, that we have more understanding.
主，我们谢谢你给我们美好的应许。
We thank you for your wonderful promises.
你给我们的人生有美好的预备。
You have very wonderful, good preparation for our lives.
让我们在你的面前都存着谦卑的心。
Help us to be humble before you.
来寻求你的带领。
To seek your guidance.
因为我们知道你的意念高过我们的意念。
Because we know that your thoughts are higher than ours.
你的道路高过我们的道路。
And your ways are higher than our ways.
愿我们的生命真是都在你的掌握之中。
May our lives be under your control.
愿你的旨意在我们的生命当中可以成就。
And may your will be done in our lives.
愿主亲自祝福我们今天在座的每一位。
And may you personally bless everyone that is here today.
我们祈求祷告，奉靠耶稣基督名求。
And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.